Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Icy Veins podcast. This is a show where we get together and discuss the news from the Blizzard Games, the site Icy Vein covers, the news from the past couple of weeks. Of course, we go over a lot of stuff, and we try to give you the news that you might not be aware of for the games that you don't follow super-duper actively. My name is Patrick Beja, and I have, again, this week, the most prolific news writer in the entire world, Stan. How's it going, Stan?
Hello, everyone. I'm quite fine. How about you, Patrick?
I'm good. I'm going to try to find a bigger superlative title to introduce you with each episode. So I'm going to have to work on that. I hope you appreciate it.
Yeah, I appreciate it a lot.
And we also have the returning Lorinda, who's back with us on this episode. Thank you for making the time, sir.
No problem. It's a good laugh. I enjoy it a lot.
Excellent. We enjoy having you here. So, of course, we're going to be talking about WoW, Heroes, Diablo, Hearthstone, Overwatch, and then a bit of general news. And let's start with the big star in the Blizzard world, World of Warcraft. Is it still fair to say that WoW is the big thing? Or should we say, is there no big thing? Maybe it's Overwatch at the moment. They just reached 35 million players. But I think it's fair to say WoW is still the thing that brought a lot of us to the Blizzard games. So it still has a special place in our hearts. Don't know about you guys, but for me, certainly.
Yeah, I think it's fair that WoW's the biggie, even though it may not be the biggest played anymore. I think it's the best known by everybody.
Yeah, certainly is still. It has that place in like societal lore somehow.
It has a movie.
Yeah, that's true. So yeah, we have a bunch of stuff for WoW, and a lot of us is on the PTR. And Stan, you were saying that you absolutely wanted to talk about the new trinkets and some legendary items, and basically there is for the boss in the new raid, Argus the Maker, there's a secret mythic phase that is quite interesting along with the new trinkets and everything. So can you explain to us how the testing has been going? And so it's still on PTR, but there's some interesting stuff from there. Can you tell us a little bit more about the Argus the Unmaker encounter?
Yeah, sure, Patrick. So Argus has been tested on PTR last week. I believe it was heroic difficulty, and the whole raid was available on normal mode until, I believe, today. And the mythic phase is really great because we data mined a couple of abilities that hint at Sargeras being part of the fight against Argus. The final boss even received a new model matching his mythic difficulty. I believe he received a red model. And even the transmog scythe you get from him received a red tint. So,
oh, basically, you get a different skin of the wait, it's the sets that get a different skin?
No, actually, Hunters, there's a pole arm that you can get, like the transmog you got from Maiden of Vigilance in Tomb of Sargeras.
Oh, so it's weapon. So it's like an appearance for your artifact?
No, it's like a separate appearance.
Oh, okay. Okay, cool. So it's like
a transmog
thing.
It doesn't have anything in common with the artifact, but you can just grab a weapon from that boss.
Oh, so weapons are back as loot. Okay, that's interesting. I guess it's just for transmog, yeah. Yeah,
yeah, and the community asked a really relevant question about Sargeras being part of the encounter as to if lore will be locked behind Mythic. So I think that's an interesting aspect of it. Mm. Because we don't know if Sargeras will be part of the standard encounter.
Okay, yeah, that's that. I don't think they would do that, because even if the lore is not included, maybe it's not part of the encounter, but I think the goal of the Raid Finder specifically is to get people to experience the story as well. So, but maybe they could lock a little bit of it, and everyone will go watch it on YouTube anyway. So, and so there's trinkets, or maybe you want to explain the mythic phase, but mostly there are trinkets that play into this, you said? That's kind of weird.
Yeah, so basically the mythic phase I mean, the dungeon journal entry for Argus ends in phase 3, so we don't know yet what happens with Argus at 40%, but I think he will just change models into the red model, and perhaps Sargeras will use him as a host or something like that. But anyways, he drops an interesting set of trinkets that have two on-equip effects. The first one activates immediately when you equip the trinket. It's like your standard trinket. And the second proc will only activate under certain conditions. And the secondary buff will work only in Antorus, the Burning Throne raid. So,
and do we know the conditions, or do we not know the conditions yet?
Yes, we know that there are basically five trinkets. You need four unique buffs to trigger the secondary proc.
Right, right.
So basically, one... One of the items is a legendary one, the Ammonfool's Vision, and it serves as a wild card. So you can have two of those and two other trinkets of the remaining ones, and the secondary proc will activate. But the proc will only work in Antorus, the Burning Throne. So, I mean, using it outside of the raid would probably cause balance issues, so they didn't go with that.
Wait, so that means you activate the second proc if enough players have that that specific trinket? Is that how it works?
You need four of the trinkets to activate it. So
right, okay. So if you have enough of them...
They do not need to be unique. You can have two of the same trinket and two other ones. There's one that functions as a wild card there. So you can have two Ammonfool's Vision trinkets and two other ones.
Right. And when you have when you have four trinkets in your raid, in your group, when you have four players that have it, then the secondary on-equip effect activates, and then you get, like, super-duper. And the things are just, like, regular stat bumps, or do they have weirder legendary type effects?
Yeah, for example, Ammonfool's Vision increases your intellect, other increase your agility and stuff like that. So it's kind of interesting procs.
I guess it's very standard. It's like basically a DPS buff, a straight DPS buff, right? It's a stat increase. So yeah, it's just going to help you get through the mythic phase, I suppose.
It's also worth mentioning that there's an item that drops from Argus as well that will increase the item level of that trinket by 5 item levels up to item level 1000. So you can even upgrade those trinkets. One of them I mentioned, the Ammonfool's Vision, that drops as eye level 1000 right away. But other trinkets need to be upgraded, and they can be upgraded up to 1000.
So they're basically similar to legendaries in that regard, which also can be upgraded to 1,000 with the 7.3.2 patch. And my understanding is that in order to upgrade those, it's a little bit easier than it was to upgrade them to 940. You have like lots more sources of, how's it called, awakening essences? It's not writhing essences.
The upgrade process in 7.32 is handled the similar way as throughout Legion. So when Antorus opens, players will be able to upgrade their legendaries to item level 1000. And there are two new legendaries coming this patch. So the first one, you get it from defeating Argus the Unmaker. It increases light and shadow powers from the Crucible by 50%. And the second one is one of the trinkets I mentioned.
Right. The Ammonfool's Vision. And that one drops, I guess, does it drop on LFR as well? Or do you need to do it in normal?
I don't think so. I think it will be dropping a normal difficulty or higher.
Okay.
Crafted legendaries will be of item level 1k by default. And as usual, waking essences are used to upgrade legendary items. So you can get 20 from your weekly order, hall cash, Antorus bosses, emissary bags, or the first random heroic dungeon of the day.
Right. Oh, I guess that's similar to the writhing essences for upgrading before. But there's another type of legendary thing. There's like, you can get legendary tokens, which give you a random legendary item. Where do you get those?
Yes, there are legendary tokens. Initially, I thought that would be some sort of catch-up, but when Ion revealed that they will start dropping only after you have collected all legendary items for your class, then I think it's no catch-up at all in terms of legendary items for your alt.
So you, oh, right, okay, so you get a token and you can send it to your alt, and that means you start equipping your alts and you don't just get a duplicate of a legendary you already have, which I get is...
Yes, that's true, yeah. But you need to collect all legendaries for your class. I mean, for demon hunters, it's quite easy, but for druids, it can be a nightmare.
Well, I'm on my druid, I only have two, and I've played a few... You know, quite a bit. So I'm not even thinking about legendaries anymore. It just hurts my feelings. So that's about it for 732. But there's also the Hallow's End event happening now in the live game. And you have a little tip for people who want to make some gold. The Coin of Many Faces is something that people can use to make some dough. Can you tell us about that?
So Coin of Many Faces is used to transform you into, I believe, a random garrison follower for 1 hour. The item is on a 24-hour cooldown, and it's really sought after by many players. You can farm it in Shadowmoon Valley in Draenor, and yeah, you can sell it on the auction house if you manage to farm more of them
right.
and get some decent gold.
You were saying that last year you sold a few of them and one went for 15K?
Yes, but the prices are really fluctuating right now because there is an influx in supply. So I advise people to sell it after the event is over for more gold.
And I think they're better. Yeah, people have been collecting so much gold. I wouldn't be surprised if it was a little bit even more valuable after the end of the event. But all right, cool. So that's about it for WoW. Let's move on to Heroes. And in Heroes, we mentioned that Junkrat was going to get revealed in Heroes in the next few days. And indeed, he did. And he's even live. And I think we mentioned they do a really good job, the Heroes team, of translating the Overwatch characters, well, all the characters into the game. And Junkrat seems like he's no exception. He has one weird ultimate. Obviously, they have a new one. They're not using the method where they alter the existing ultimate for the Overwatch characters for him, but basically Junkrat is a he's a damage dealer, right? He's not
He's an assassin.
Yeah, he's an assassin. He's not a specialist as I thought he would be. What do you think of Junkrat?
Yeah, I think Junkrat is really great. And what we can say that he's really good at poking, has decent crowd control, and he's also capable of decent sustained damage output. On the other hand, he's really fragile and lacks self-sustain and precision. But, I mean, he has quite interesting skills.
The second ultimate is this weird rocket that he jumps on and explodes on enemies, but that's not all. Then he actually revives immediately, and he gets back at the spawn point and can rush back to the I mean, I can't remember if that's exactly how it works, but that's what I remember. He just he comes back immediately into the battleground.
Spawn point. Yes. So he will immediately, 5 seconds after landing, he will reappear at the altar. So it's where you cast your Hearthstone.
Right,
I mean, where you get teleported.
So it's a... I'm not sure we know if it's a... I mean, yes, we do. But if he's a... he can do that how many times? Like, just one? Or then he doesn't explode again? Or it's just that he doesn't have the regular cooldown once, right?
Yeah, the ability has a 100-second cooldown, I believe.
Right, but I mean, he basically suicides and then reappears at the altar. So, oh, okay. So I didn't think about it like that. It's not that he gets a free res, which would be a positive thing. It's that his ultimate is a suicide that takes him out of the fight for a little bit. So it's actually not a good thing that he dies. It's a bad thing. Didn't realize that's how it worked. Didn't think about it enough. That's an interesting choice of design. But yeah, basically he's a sustain DPS character, and not he's not going to burn an enemy down in, you know, he's not a mage or, you know, anything like that that is going to destroy an enemy in 5 seconds. He's more of a sustain damage character. And then there's there's the Hell's End event from now till November 14th. Damien is listening, and we have breaking news. He has a level 20 talent that makes the rocket have 30-second cooldown, down from 100. So, yeah, but it still means that he's when he dies, he, you know, when he uses the ultimate, he dies. So if you use it more often, you have to respawn and come back into the fight. So I think it's strategically a difficult choice. But
yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So anyway, the Hallow's End event is... Oh, and for those who don't know, Damien is one of the people managing the Icy Veins site. He's just listening in to make sure that we're not saying anything stupid. Right, Damien? I'm just talking to the people behind the curtain now, breaking the fourth wall of podcasting. So, Hallow's End is the event in Heroes. I have to say I'm a little bit underwhelmed by the event. Not that, you know, the event isn't... Usually you have these super cool event that give you incredible rewards. Not usually, but it's happened a few times. And this one, it's more like sprays, banners, portraits, when you play like 2, 8, and 15 games in the different parts of the event. So you're not going to get like a huge collection of heroes or stuff that, you know, skins that are incredible that you're absolutely going to want to get. So there are specific loot chests for the event with specific skins and stuff like that. But it's not the kind of thing where if you don't play Heroes on a regular basis, you absolutely want to go back and check it out to get the sweet loot, I would say.
Patrick, I think the Grey Mane skin is pretty sweet, and it makes me play the game because it's really great.
Hey, is it going to be exclusive to the Hallow's End event, or will it stay after?
Yeah, it is exclusive this year. So basically, standard loot chests have been replaced by Hallow's End loot chests, and they will contain at least one seasonal item. And last year's skins are available, so that included like skins for Vala, Zul, I believe the iPad mount, and you can buy them again. And this year they introduced new skins for Greymane, I believe, Valyra, and
so,
stuff
right.
like that, and minor adjustments to existing skins.
So that means you can only buy them during the event, just like you in Overwatch.
Yes, I think so.
Okay, so that does encourage people, and it's true that the Greymane skin is really cool. But yeah, so that encourages people to play during that event if you want those skins. I guess that does make sense. All right, so the next thing on the list is Diablo, which has a little bit of stuff I would like to talk about. There's patch 2.7.1, which is basically minor revisions, changes to item sets and stuff like that. I said 2.7.1, I meant 2.6.1.
Yeah, it's actually 2.6.1.
Yeah, 2.6.1. And it's relatively minor, but I did want to talk about they changed some sets because since the Necromancer arrived, there were things that were a little bit unbalanced. And if you're super into the game, just go check that out on icyveins.com. But there's another thing I wanted to talk about to people who might not realize that there's this cool new feature in Diablo. When I say cool new feature, it was introduced with the Necromancer patch a few months ago, and that's the Challenge Rift. And I think we're going to be talking about Challenge Rifts every once in a while in the show, especially when there's a cool one, because it's a feature that people who haven't been playing the game, it's kind of a fun thing for people who don't play all the time. And I think the people who don't play all the time might not have heard of it. So the way it works is that you select a third game mode. You have the story mode and the bounty, what's it, adventure mode.
Adventure mode.
Right. And you have the challenge rift mode. And the challenge rift mode is not a huge mode. It's just one select dungeon with one select character, class, and build. And it changes every week. But the really fun thing about this is that the builds are pretty advanced and pretty complex, in the sense that it's the kind of thing that if you're not playing a lot, you probably don't get to play those kinds of things in Diablo. You probably have seen some videos with crazy builds of people doing incredible things, like rushing through a rift at like super speed or spinning nonstop through the mobs of the entire dungeon, stuff like that. But if you're not going to play for 20 hours to collect the set and the specific items, you're not going to get to do that. Well, the challenge rift allows you to do that. So you get those very specific set dynamics and builds that are super fun to play, and you go through a rift that never changes. So for the whole week, you can, usually you might do it, you know, five times until you understand how it works and you manage to do the time that the rift is supposed to be finished in. You can also go farther and compete with your friends and try to do a better time, but that's usually something that people who are already very much into the game will do, I suppose. If you just want to try a crazy build, just go do the weekly challenge rift. It gives you some, you know, crafting materials, so that the reward is cool but not incredible. But for something that allows you to try those crazy builds, it's really cool. This week, it's a barbarian build where you have a mix. I think it's the Immortal King set, which makes you do more damage when you have Rage of the Berserker and the Three Kings. I can't remember the name of that ability together. And you do the Frenzy as your main attack, which makes you attack super quickly. And then you have the Hammer of the Ancients on the second attack. So your attack speed gets crazy fast, and you then start slamming the hammer over everything around you like five times a second. You're like boom, 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 and then rush with charge through enemies. It's like the really fun thing about challenge rifts is that at first you play and you're like, you don't really understand how the build works, like what you're supposed to do, how you're supposed to do it, to use it. But then as you play for like 10, 15, 20 minutes, you understand and you get into that super power, super Saiyan mode where you're like, yes, you're all gonna die, filthy demons, and you destroy them. Like the joy of Diablo is surfaced for everyone to enjoy, and I really like that that mode. So this week it's not the best one ever, but it's pretty fun when you get the hang of it.
It's real cool.
Yeah, have you done the challenge rift, Sam?
Can I add something to the challenge?
Sure, sure, sure. Go ahead.
Okay, so I wanted to add that basically challenge rifts are weekly static versions of previously completed rifts, and they are pulled directly from a player's account. Right. And you will need to beat the timer with the same skills, paragon levels, layout as the original player. So I don't think we mentioned that.
I alluded to it, but not specifically. And it's the same for everyone. So you can
same mob, same layout, yeah. Same everything.
And so you also learn the layout, so you try to improve the way you go through the rift. So it's like you know that you have the different mobs here and there, and you go from group to group to optimize your run to do a better time. It's a really fun feature, and I think people, you know, maybe you've played Diablo a long time ago, or you haven't been playing regularly. But I think it's really worth giving a try, because that's, you know, as I was saying, it brings the joy of Diablo to people who don't have time to play enough to enjoy those super high level builds.
Yes, it definitely keeps the game fresh, at least for me.
Yeah.
You see different builds. You see how people experiment with their characters, and you can experience that firsthand.
Yeah,
so absolutely. It's really a nice addition.
I've tried. You don't have to do all of them, but some of them are really fun for sure. Hearthstone. So there's a couple of things that happened. I think first, should we talk about patch 9.2, Lorinda?
Yeah, or? That came fresh last night. Let's start with that, as it's right on everybody's mind right now.
Yeah, so there's a bunch of stuff in patch 9.2. It's funny because Hearthstone, I don't remember them naming, the conventions for the patches. But basically, there's some changes to the way the skills trigger.
Yeah, that's a big deal. I mean, there's a lot came in. There's 1.3 gig in there, so there's probably some hidden stuff still to be data mined as well by people, but... basically, just changed the rules on some of the cards that have perplexed people forever. Wild Pyromancer quite often triggered after you, say, stole it from your opponent. It might trigger, it might not, depending which card you use, that sort of thing. And now the cards have been tidied up, so they do what they say they do. A lot more, anyway.
Okay, so that's probably a good thing. Was that a concern in the community? Like...
So it's not so much a concern amongst the top level of players, because it's their job to learn how the cards work, and whatever happens, happens, like any other game.
Right.
But if you're learning the game, or if you only have time to play a few games a month, and a card says, this card will do 1 damage to all minions when you play a spell, you don't want the card to appear out of thin air and then have the spell that was just played trigger the effect, because it makes no real logical sense.
So it's going to be more consistent now.
Yeah, it will literally, they just tidied up so things do what you would expect them to do more intuitively. So yeah, consistent's a good word, but yeah, intuitive I think might work as well.
Okay, cool. And there's also a new hero, a new necromancer. Yep. What's her name? Nemzy Necrofizzle, which is, of course, a gnome with that name.
Sure, why not? It's a very... Blizzard name, isn't it?
Yeah.
And very cute looking character, very cute sounding character as well. You can get that through playing Fireside Gatherings anywhere from October onwards, I think.
Okay, cool. So if you want to get your real life gaming on, then you can go do that.
I'm curious, when they in Warcraft, I didn't play much Warcraft yet, so I keep trying and never getting around to enough. Do the diehard players, how do they feel when you sort of got a really serious quest and then they drop in, say, an MZ Necrofizzle, who's obviously a lot more fun than maybe some of the things that are evolving around them?
I think people are used to it in WoW by now. You know, WoW has a lot of everything for everyone, including some silliness. With, you know, you have all of the epic, tragic stories, but also you've had from the beginning the slash dance emote is real life dancing. Like you have the Night Elves that do the Michael Jackson routine. So people are used to it, and you have the jokes and everything. So I think people don't mind it too much, especially I think the gnomes enjoy it quite a bit, and you have some encounters that are quite well known in the world. Another interesting thing about this actually is that Nemzy Necrofizzle is, I don't think, the first original character as a hero, but one of the first, so it's definitely the Hearthstone team getting more of their own writing, although I guess the League of Explorers was entirely made up for Hearthstone, or those characters at least.
They dropped the tag Heroes of Warcraft about a year ago now, from memory. But they're not abusing that. They're still staying very much within the Warcraft mentality. They've just allowed themselves a bit more design space to branch away. And also, they were upsetting some of the hardcore Warcraft players as well by sort of changing lore around and stuff sometimes. Right. So they wanted to make sure that Hearthstone isn't canon, I think.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's canon, but they have their own side of it, so it doesn't affect the rest of it, yeah. The other thing is the HCT, which stands for Hearthstone Championship Tournament.
Tour. Yeah, near enough. Tour?
Almost. Close enough.
Stop quick enough, yeah.
How did that go?
That was a really good event this time around. They've obviously they've stayed with the same casting pairs now for for the whole year, and that's starting to really pay off for them. They're getting really sort of well gelled together. The players were fantastic this time around, and the top four were Surrender, Orange, Purple, and Jason Joe, all of whom are very well known in the scene. So the format, it gets a bit of criticism because there's quite a few break points where you have one match, and if you win, you're in, and if you lose, you're out. But overall, it is just finding very strong players to send to the World Championships. Not necessarily always exactly 100% the top list, but if you're going to do that, why would you play the games? In any sport, in any game, you know, you don't always get the exact top list. And I think they've found a really good formula to mix the excitement of it being like, do they win or don't they, combined with they're getting good players into the World Championship. So, yeah, I think it's been a really successful conclusion to the year.
So this is not like the major, like, world, everyone, like the best players tournament. It's like a side select things.
Well, it's kind of the best players for summer.
Okay.
It's the Summer Global Championship, which is the best way to word it. It's not quite the words they use. They just use Summer Championship. But every player who got points in the summer season could enter this. If they got in the top 64 in their region, then they had to qualify for this by doing top four in their regional championships. So this is effectively, if there were four World Championships a year, this would be one of them. But there's only one World Championship a year.
Okay, I see. And how did Pavel do? I thought he was like the favorite.
He was the favorite. He'd won three of his previous four events. He got knocked out one match before qualifying for a second go at the World Championship. So Orange took that spot. Surrender actually ended up winning the tournament. He's on the same team as Hoy, who won the previous tournament in spring. So that team, Planet Odd, obviously doing rather well in the competitive scene.
Okay, cool. Well, I chose Pavel as my...
Me too.
Yeah, you did too. I was like, yes, he's the one who's winning everything. I'm going to get some free stuff. And yeah.
Well, we get two packs.
That's not bad. Overwatch is also having Halloween-themed events. And this year, it's the same as last year. It's Halloween Terror. Junkenstein is back to annoy everyone with his maniacal laugh. It's the special event is a PvE encounter where you have to fight Junkenstein in the specific map that they have designed for this. Well, it's kind of Icon Vault, but a little bit modified. And they are doing the exact same thing they were last year with an added mode, which is basically a horde mode, infinite, endless horde mode. I think they've ramped up the difficulty a little bit on all aspects of it, but it's essentially the same thing. There are some different characters, but overall, it's kind of the same thing as we discussed last episode. But it's still okay, as I mentioned. It's like if they do two in a row for the 2 years in a row, the same event with slight changes is okay. Next year, I hope they do something more different. But I guess we'll have to wait and see for that one. The really cool thing about the event, though, is just like for Heroes of the Storm, it's the skins. And the skins are incredible. Some of them are like the best they've ever done. The Symmetra skin is essentially Deathwing, like Destroyer Diva in Heroes. Symmetra, she isn't called Deathwing, but she's essentially what a Deathwing skin would look on Symmetra. And there are a number of other skins that are really, really cool. And the other thing is the patch with changes to Mercy has gone live. There are a few other changes, nothing major, but the one really important thing is that the way they are handling the Mercy res, the resurrection, they tried a few different things on PTR, and things didn't quite work out as well as they wanted. So what they did was they ended up giving her so the resurrection is not the resurrection cooldown is not reset when you enter the ultimate, the Valkyrie. Instead, what that does is that it adds one charge of resurrection for the duration of Valkyrie. So you still have the 30 seconds cooldown on resurrection. It doesn't go down to 10 seconds. So they've severely nerfed the amount of resing you can do in Valkyrie. but you can actually res two people if you haven't used your regular res before you enter, you know, 30 seconds before you enter the thing. So you can basically add a res immediately when you enter the thing, and then when the cooldown expires for the regular res, if you've already used it, you can use it again. And if you haven't used it, you can res two people in a row. I think that addresses the res burst that she got in Valkyrie. It doesn't address the issue of making it difficult to poke, get a pick, and then go in, because a Mercy is always going to res that character that you manage to pick if they are really turtling and really defensive. But we'll see. That's a clear nerf, even if it's not massive, so we'll have to wait and see how things go before deciding whether or not she still needs to be looked at a little bit further. So that's not Hearthstone, Overwatch. And then we have a little bit of general news. The appear offline and group features that we were talking about in the last episode have been implemented in the beta version of the Battle.net app. It's only available in the US, though. You have to connect to the US version of Battle.net in order to benefit from these features at the US and the beta version. So it's not available for everyone yet. It's fairly limited. I mean, appear offline, I glossed over it, but it's been something everyone has been asking for a really long time, and now it's finally available. So that's a good thing. And the groups, it's really basic. It's not going to get anyone who was using Discord to abandon Discord anytime soon. But it's probably good for people who have friends in the Blizzard universe and who want to be able to communicate with them across games and not just in one game in a clan or guild or something like that. I don't know. Have you guys tried the group features at all or not?
Yeah, I've tried it. I installed the beta version but I haven't found time to play around it, really. I just set up my picture, like profile pic. You can choose that one, alter your profile, and stuff like that.
Yeah, it is limited. I mean, you do have the voice chat as well, but I don't know how well linked it is to this. But yeah, Lorinda, you tried it as well?
No, I actually haven't tried anything new for a couple of weeks. Things have been a little bit all over the place. So I'm pretty useless on that sort of aspect this time around.
Well,
but I'll catch it for next time.
I'm sure that you have enjoyed the rewards for the BlizzCon, the BlizzCon in-game rewards that have been, well, implemented in most of the games. There's the mounts in WoW, which are kind of crazy. I'm not a huge fan of them, but they're really popular. A BlizzCon skin, BlizzCon skin for Winston in Overwatch. Some skins for Junkers, Probes, and Drones in StarCraft 2. The one that actually looks kind of cool is the Nexus Razorback mount in Heroes. I think that kind of looks cool. The Mercomancer pet in Diablo is kind of fun. We always enjoy having some Murlocs, themed Murlocs in all of our games. And then there's the mystery goodie in Hearthstone, which is probably going to be a card, a golden version of a legendary card, as per tradition. But I have a theory. Guys, you can tell me if you think that's correct. I think it's going to be linked to the expansion that is going to be announced in at BlizzCon.
Yeah, they're not announcing one at BlizzCon, I don't believe. They must be announcing it straight after or something.
Oh, sorry. I meant the WoW expansion.
Oh, sorry. I see. Ah. That's interesting. Hmm. Yeah. I mean, they may also link it. They may even announce the card at BlizzCon and say, here's Golden Legendary. What do you think? And it might link into everything Hearthstone coming up as well without telling us anything else.
Ah, that'd so maybe it would be a hint. Maybe it would be a hint towards the next expansion of Hearthstone, not of WoW.
Right. So here's a card from the new set, but we're not going to tell you what the new set is.
Ah, you don't think they're going to announce a new expansion at BlizzCon?
I don't think so, is my understanding, but I've been known to be wrong before many times. But my instincts are that they're not going to tell as much.
Hmm. All right, well, I guess we'll have to wait and see. And finally, The biggest news, obviously, of this entire episode is the BlizzCon concert. I am certain that Stan is going to be watching this on his 80-inch TV with, like, sound blasting, because he's a huge fan of Muse, of course. Right, Stan?
Yeah, definitely.
I sense the irony in the... some people yeah. are fans of Muse, and that's... Oh, no, you were being serious?
No. I don't listen to rock music or Muse at all, but I think some people will really appreciate them.
Yeah, I'm joking, but I've seen a lot of positive feedback. Like, some people were super excited on Twitter, going like, oh my god, it's Muse. I just, I'm old, so it's not really my generation. I mean, there's like this one title, which I can't remember, from Muse, which obviously everyone knows, but I don't know their work beyond that, so I'm not excited. But there were some people who were really excited. So yeah, that's cool. Muse live concert at BlizzCon 2017. And that's going to be a fun time for those who like them, and a time for me to go to the store because they won't be huge queues. Although...
Yeah, I mean, either way, it's a really good... Blizzard know how to put on a show, right? Whether, yeah. you know, us older people don't really mind either way about the music necessarily, but... We all agree, I suspect, that sort of band is required at a big show.
Yeah.
So there's something for everybody there. And the Blizzard definitely put on a big show at BlizzCon.
Yeah, it's the party at the end, and they definitely need it. They've had it forever. And for me, I mean, I was saying the store is probably going to be robbed and empty by that time, because it's at the end of the convention. So you probably want to actually buy before you even go there online, if you want to get anything for sure. But if you're there, go early. But yeah, so for me, it's going to be a time to hang out with people. And the show aspect of BlizzCon is definitely there, and the community aspect is definitely important. But it's getting so big. I mean, I remember going in 2007, I think, the first time. It was tiny compared to this. But anyway. All right, that is going to be it for our episode today. I hope you enjoyed it. Before we leave, could... both of you tell us where people can find you on the internet. Maybe start with Stan.
Okay, so you can find me on Twitter under Heroes Pawn, or on the website icveins.com, obviously.
On the website, I think you write, as I was joking about earlier, half the news. So obviously you can find Stan there. And Lorinda, what do you do on the internet?
So you can find me at Icy, obviously. I'll be doing mainly the guides these days. Still do a little bit of news, but mainly the guides for Hearthstone decks. And you can find me on Twitter at Lorinda Games. If you want a deck except for doing, you can find me there. And if you want to watch me, I'll be in Denver starting in 2 days' time at DreamHack. So tune into DreamHack and watch an old guy talk about Hearthstone.
Excellent. DreamHack. Go to DreamHack, the website, to get more of Lorinda.
Yeah.
I'm sure they'll be on Twitch, actually. I say the DreamHack.
Yes, on Twitch, and the website links around, all that stuff, yeah.
Excellent. I'm Not Patrick on Twitter. You can find my shows at frenchspin.com and other places, but start there. It's probably a good place. And of course, Lorinda alluded to it, but you can find guides on Icy Veins. And that's probably the site you think of when you think of guides for Blizzard games. You go and get your easy to understand build for Diablo or WoW or whatever game that is. You just go there and get easy information. And thanks to people like Stan and the many people who contribute to the site, you can also get lots of news. So that is another reason you might want to go to ic-veins.com. And of course, one last reason you might want to go there is to leave feedback about the show. We're still very early into this adventure, and already we're getting pretty excited about BlizzCon. I don't know how we're going to do for next episode. We'll have to think about that, but it's going to be roughly around BlizzCon time, so we'll have to think about how we handle the recording of the show, but we're going to have a lot of stuff to talk about, probably. We'll see how that works. But either way, please leave us some feedback. feedback. Tell us what you thought. And we will be back for another episode fairly soon. So we'll talk to you then. Bye.